Good morning, everybody. This is Vertical Live Radio, and I'm your host, Celeste Duckworth. That intro music today was Take a Look, and that's by Marcus Gainsay Floyd, an excellent music producer who has always donated music to Vertical Live Radio so we can, you know, have that great flavor. And let's tell you, Marcus, thank you so much today for your generosity in sending us indie music. So my quote for today is, there is no envy, jealousy, or hatred between the different colors of the rainbow. And no fear either, because each one exists to make the other's love more beautiful. And that's from Abar Yanni. And it's a great opening for my guest today. My guest today is Anne Cabano. And when you hear Anne's story, it's hard to imagine that the path she's walked has been carved by anything other than destiny. She's a passionate advocate for humanity, giving voice to the human experience as a documentary filmmaker. She's a holistic educator, published author, and public speaker. And she hopes to spread her message of love and social justice through creativity, outreach, and human connection. She is the founder of the Just Be Love Project and Anne Cabano Films and Dragonfly Film Fest. And she is on the grassroots mission to spread love and kindness and to demonstrate tolerance and compassion and to be the change. So today I'd like to welcome Anne Cabano. Anne, how are you today?
Hi, thank you so much. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited to finally have you on the program for sure. Been watching things that you do, and of course we know each other, and this woman has a heart of gold for all of you out there listening. She is very busy, but, you know, if you call and say, hey, Anne, you know, I need to talk to you about something, she makes room for you. So I really appreciate that, Anne. I really do.
Oh, you're so kind to me. I'm really excited to be chatting with you because I know we always have a great time chatting. And I'm really looking forward to having our chat. Although some of the things we chat about, maybe we won't be chatting about today, but you know.
Right, right. So let's tell everybody about you, Anne. Tell everybody, just give me a little bit of about you, because we know that you're an Arizona resident. She's here in Phoenix, Arizona. So give us a little bit more of a background about you.
Jeez, that's such a broad question, isn't it? I appreciate the love. Like, you gave me such a lovely intro. It's like, doesn't that just cover it? But excuse me, I live in Tempe, and I consider myself a semi-native because I've lived here in Arizona since 1978. And so I was 10 years old, which tells you my age because this is my big 5-0 year. So I'm very excited about that. But I've lived here in the Valley and I've seen so much change. And I love Arizona, and Arizona has formed me. Arizona is where I've done all of my work, really. And so I'm a huge fan of this state and everything it's brought to me. So as far as my background, I don't know. I'm kind of like a bag of mixed nuts, I suppose. I wear a lot of different hats. I like variety. I like to do a lot of different things. I like to have my hands in a lot of different things. And I've been blessed to be able to do a lot of different things successfully. So I feel, if you describe me besides the intro you gave me, is that I am really passionate about people. I'm an advocate. I'm a filmmaker, and I am a holistic educator as well. So everything that I do sort of has this background of a mind, body, soul connection, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Tell us a little bit about being an energy healer and about all that you do as in your work as far as massage therapist, energy healer. I know that you just found another base for what you do. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. Another. Are you talking about my office?
Yes, your new office that I see you putting together.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? I don't feel like I'm ever in charge, and no matter how much I try to be in charge, I'm not the one driving this vehicle. So it's always an adventure. But I am a Reiki practitioner. That's an energy modality. And sometimes it's described in ways that sound that you can't really understand. So the best way that I feel to describe Reiki is that it is an experiential sort of modality. It's really about balancing out the body and doing what we normally do innately within us as human beings. And how I sort of came into that, if you will, I was working in hospice, and there's a particular man that I worked with some time, and I learned a lot about, you know, love and the energy of love and being connected to individuals, because this family was really strong minded, and, you know, him and his wife both I took care of, and I took care of them for an insane amount of time that you would normally consider a hospice stay. But I used to do this thing when I was a kid, and like, say my brother had a headache or someone's shoulder hurt or something, and they would say, "Hey, Ann, come take this away from me." And so I did. I would go and I put my hands on him and take it away, literally. No matter how crazy that sounds, that's what I did, just naturally, without thought. You know, I didn't put any thought behind it. And so I was with this man in hospice, and he had gangrene on his foot, and he was it was progressing at that moment. Every time it progressed, it caused a lot of severe pain, and my natural instinct was to do this thing that I do, which I just called prayer, because I had no reference for it or anything like that. I just called it prayer. And so I did that, and his daughter walked in and she said, "Oh, Ann, that's so wonderful. You're doing Reiki." And that was the first time I heard the term Reiki. And that was the beginning of everything. It just all shifted and changed from there. And so I don't know if that even answers your question.
Yes,
I'm good
it does,
at talking.
Because it goes into a lot of what you do. A lot of what you do with helping people, and a lot of what you do with even the films that you've done. It takes a huge amount of energy when you're helping people, and when you're grounded in helping people. I consider it more of a ministry than it is a career. It's a passion that, you know, you have to be built with. I always say you have to be built with that passion. It's just not something that you can actually learn. And reading about your history as being the daughter of a single mother and taking care of your grandparents, you know, it seems that you were, you know, that was part of your root. It was part of what was put inside you and part of what you carry today. So I totally get where you're at right now. So let's talk a little bit about your filmmaking, because you do some incredible, and I'll say in-your-face type of documentaries that I don't think a lot of people really hit on, okay? Some of the subject matter, and you managed to really capture some raw emotions. You managed to, even when you're looking at some of the titles, it's kind of like, oh, okay, it's just really kind of in your face. So let's talk about three of them that I chose to talk about. And the first one I want to talk about is you did one called He Called Me Angel, and it's a tale about the trauma and triumph through human trafficking. That's the journey of Shanna Parker. So tell me a little bit about what made made you want to do these type of documentaries, and what did you gain from doing this one with Shanna Parker?
You know that comment I made about I don't feel like I'm the one driving the vehicle? That's really how I feel. What comes to me naturally, I suppose, in relating to people, may not come naturally to others. I don't know. I can only speak for myself. But that little film, we're still in production. That's a little bit of an ongoing film because we started out we were just going to make a short. And I actually met Shanna, and it's Shanna, even though it's spelled Shanna, and there's a story behind actually her name being spelled the way it is. That's really interesting, side note. But I started doing a film I don't have to go looking for subjects. If you just stop and look around, I feel that everyone is amazing and everyone has really amazing stories of overcoming. Some sound better, more dramatic wise. You know what I'm saying? Not that anyone's story is better than anyone's, but some of them just sort of float to the top and pique your interest. And I actually started this film out as another film. And I was talking with a young woman about sex addiction. And I know a lot about addiction. I have a lot of addiction in my family, and I know what it looks like on both sides of the fence as an observer and watching individuals suffer in addiction. But, you know, sex addiction is an interesting topic because people don't realize that it actually is an addiction and can affect your life. And so in my research and journey of really uncovering sex addiction, there's no way I could sidestep pornography, child pornography, and trafficking because they all hold hands. They're cousins on the sidewalk. They hold hands. And so I sit on the board of a nonprofit, and he asked me if I wanted to come to this trafficking certification class. And I had just started to research trafficking, and I was like, heck yes, the universe is saying, hey, okay, here's your next step. So I went to this course, and Shanna was the one teaching. And I was so blown away by her story because I don't think we don't realize that I didn't realize. And so I know I'm not the only one, just how prevalent it is. It doesn't happen in other countries. It happens in our residential, towns and cities right next door. And I could relate to the emotion of some of the things that she was saying, even though our experiences in the world were different. The emotions around some of the things that she's experienced and things I've experienced were the same. And so I felt compelled to go up and talk to her, and with no zero plan in mind. And here we are now, we are now. And I gave a whole conference around trafficking and sexual trauma and PTSD. And all of that was a result of meeting Shanna, who's a huge advocate across the country and out of the country for trafficking awareness. She's a trafficking survivor. And here's one of the a side note that I would say about some of these topics, right? Although I might be able to articulate somebody else's experience, it is really my opinion that the individuals who have actually gone through this can articulate it in the most powerful way. And so I feel like my job is to help them tell the story to bring awareness to each individual topic.
Okay. I would agree with you there. I would agree that I would agree in any something like this, if you have to have some experience when you're a true advocate. I haven't met Shana yet, Shana yet. I've heard a lot of her stories from people that have been to see her speak, and I have heard a lot of stories. And I think with really something that I try to teach parents that I know now is the fact that we used to probably think of our children as children of people getting kidnapped and probably, you know, something happens to them. But I kind of, you know, got to a point where I said, you know, now you need to be more worried about them being kidnapped and sold into sexual trafficking, which is very lucrative. America happens to be the number one. And it's a great concern because it actually is something that starts from very high up that we don't want to really talk about, you know. So that is the subject that's very dear to my heart as well. And I totally get that when you say that you can only show so much of it, but the person that's really the expert is the person that's been involved in it. Tell me, when doing something, doing a documentary like that, what do you do when your creativity feels sapped? Because what do you do to stay fresh, and what do you do when your creativity starts to feel sapped? Because that is something that really, even though you don't want to be too emotional while you're doing the work, it does create some emotions in you.
It can create emotions. What's interesting about me is I feel, it may not be interesting to anyone else, but what's interesting about me is I feel like I've been through a lot of things in my life that have helped me learn how to not take on other people's stories. And it benefits the situation because I'm able to listen more of an objectively, sort of a world view rather than getting into and taking on the story of the individual. I'm sort of, I don't want to say detached, but I am sort of detached in a way, which is weird because mm-hmm. I'm also extremely involved in compassion in the situation. So it's just an interesting thing. I can't really explain that I feel like I was built this way. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that I'm not a human being and I don't experience, you know, I'm really good at thinking about things from every mm-hmm. angle there possibly. I love to analyze. And I love to mm-hmm. see things from as many viewpoints as possible because I find human beings fascinating. And I find, you know, why so-and-so took this action and so-and-so responded this way, why two people in the same situation have a completely different experience. It's fascinating to me. But when mm-hmm. I experience burnout or I get low in, you know, I just like lack the ability to take action, I just move my body, like physically, or I go and I hang out with friends. I seek out fun. I just completely take myself out of whatever I'm thinking of and find something else to do. So I have some really great girlfriends and I'm really close to my family and, you know, we get snarky and I wanted to say I have a margarita, but that probably doesn't sound very nice to say, boy, when I get stuck, I go and have a margarita, but I might do that once in a while too.
Yeah.
You know,
I can relate. I relate.
Yeah. I just like to find fun that's the same same level as the, you know, not so fun stuff. But I consider that fun too, what I do. So that's what I do.
And that makes sense. I do work with a couple of nonprofit CEOs, and I always ask them, how do they, you know, at the end of the day, how do you walk away from it? So your answer is about the same as most people that I talk to that are doing this type of work or when they're working within humanity. So for, you know, like we were talking about this film and we were talking about how it kind of started you on some other things. So like, Anne, so when do you walk away from the story, or do you ever walk away from the story, or does the story just evolve?
It's definitely an evolution. As soon as you think you have a handle on a story or a story arc, a whole new can of worms opens. That's what my experience has been. I start out thinking I'm doing A, B, and C, and before you know it, I'm at X, Y, Z, and I'm like, well, I don't know how I got here, but it's the story drives itself typically when you come across any story of trauma, hardship, and perseverance. It drives itself, really. Mm-hmm. And so that's been my experience. I don't know how others experience it, but that's how I experience it. You never get to the end of the story. Most of the things that I've done, the people I connect with, you know, I'm having a heart-to-heart connection with them. And I really take the time to, you know them as people rather than subjects of a film. And so they stay with me. Them and their stories stay with me in my heart.
And, you know, one of the things that I've noticed about your film work is that it's a very when we talk about some of the stories, I'm looking at Unfilthy and Unsheltered Heart and looking at some of the themes in them. The themes are always about redemption. There is redemption. There is healing. There's no real retirement from the work that you've been giving. So I was looking at Unsheltered Heart, and I was reading how Doug, who he's the hero, who retires from outreach and then discovers that he still has a purpose that has not been completed. Is everything that you do, and I'll say because we're getting to the Just Be Loved project, is that the message that you want to give people, that there is redemption, that there is forgiveness, that there is another life for you?
Oh, yeah, what a great question. I think my end goal, I'm a huge advocate for being a human being. And in short, we are all humans, and, you know, we are all able to feel the same feelings. And even though the stories are different, the feelings are the same. And so I don't believe that we were put on this planet to suffer. And so it's my hope and my joy when someone is able to move to a place of forgiveness and understand that they're a human being, and they get to have joy and they're worthy of love. And so sometimes when you reveal these types of stories, we can relate on so many levels to what they're going through, and to show you that there's always a light. There's always a light.
So let me, before I go, because I like to, I know there's quite a few individuals that will be listening to this or are listening to this right now, because I also like to cover, as much as covering the passions of what you do and the challenges and success, I like to also cover what it takes to do what you do. So in doing filming, what does it take for you, or how do you go about getting funding for your projects?
I pray for support. That's what I do. As an indie filmmaker, which is what I am, as an independent, India is independent. So independent filmmakers, sometimes you get blessed with support from one or two individuals. But the way that I've mm-hmm. raised a little bit of money in the past is just doing your typical crowdfunding. And that mostly it's self-funded. Mostly it's self-funded, although I have to tell you that I get blessed a lot because people get moved by the information and ask me, how can I help, right? And so I've had a lot of people donate time, resources, locations, expertise, and money or food. You know, and so my goal is to tell the story of humanity. My goal isn't necessarily to make, you know, some kind of blockbuster movie. I just want to show the story. And so I do whatever it takes to make that happen. Sometimes it's a little more difficult than others, like when you want to fly to a different state because some action happened in a different state. But other than that, I've been really blessed to get to this point, just really blessed. So that's, I feel, in my viewpoint, that's why I don't really have advice. This is the biggest question. How do you get funding? How do you get funding, right? Filmmakers want to know, how do you get funding? And I just do what I need to do and make it happen. You know, I trade my time a lot too. I volunteer my time in exchange for whatever I need.
Okay. All right. What has been the biggest challenge for you in your journey as a filmmaker thus far?
Oh, my biggest challenge in my journey as a filmmaker is here I am expressing that we're all human beings and I put my faith in people. And my biggest journey has been putting my faith in people and not getting it in writing. That's been my biggest challenge. And so I've done a tremendous amount of work on two particular films that, because I didn't get it in writing, they decided that they weren't going to put it in writing when I asked, that I was unable to actually take all of that footage and all the time I spent and put it into a film. Like, there's nothing I can do with any of it. Right. So that was my biggest challenge. And so, you know, I get it in writing. If you don't get it in writing, don't start on it.
Okay. Now, that's great advice. So I want to come to now, because I've been seeing a lot on the Just Be Love project. And so I want to ask you about how did this get started, and you know, give me more information about it, and who's involved in this project as well.
Right. So right now I'm involved. We sort of started with a group of people, and like a lot of things, it just sort of shifts because people go through things. So right now, the Just Be Love project is me and my friend Topher, and he offers me a lot of support with the website. He, you know, he's built the website. He's run some of the events. Technically, he does the technical kind of stuff, and he's listened to me vent. Like, I can't even tell you, I've vented to him. Like, my, you know, when I'm going through a struggle or whatnot. So I'm forever grateful for Topher in my life. So he's the one that's the main one. Other than that, it's me. And, you know, a lot of people volunteer their time when we're having events and stuff. But how this got started was, I'm an advocate at heart, which I can't imagine my life without trying to do something. And I know that I can't make people think differently. And so I just hope that my action inspires people in some way or another. And so the Just Be Love Project, I founded a nonprofit. I co-founded a nonprofit in 2010, and then I retired from that nonprofit in 2015. And, you know, having an organization where you're bringing awareness to something is so important to me personally. But I wanted to do something on a broader scale. And the truth is, the Just Be Love Project directly came out of my own experience when I went through a horrible depression, and I started experiencing a PTSD response to an abusive relationship that I was in. And when you're in it, that's one thing. And then when you're in it and you realize you're in it, that's another thing. And then when you have the courage to get out of it, that's another thing. And then you go through healing. And so in my healing, oh, it didn't feel like healing. It never feels like healing when you're going through so much trauma like that. Right.
Uh-huh.
But during that healing, that was the first time I experienced some of the things I was experiencing emotionally. And some people around me actually pointed out to me, what's going on with you? And so I had to stop everything I was doing. Literally, like I said, I have my hands in so many things all the time, and I literally just dropped everything. And like in the middle of contracts, I said, I can't do this. I have to take care of myself. And so that was one of the best things that I've done, because as a result of taking care of myself and putting myself first, I really have discovered who I am as a person. And even though we think we walk through this world feeling like we're authentic, and I was walking through this world feeling like, yeah, I really am an authentic person, I've come to this point in my life where I don't think I've ever been this in touch with who I am and why I am. And so I decided I wanted to use my voice, and my voice isn't necessarily my direct voice. My voice is saying, hey, come on over here. Let's talk about this thing. There's a thing over here, and I think that it would benefit us all to come talk about it, right? So I wanted a broader scope, because I have an interest that my nonprofit was directed at homelessness, and I have an interest in so many different things, which are involved in homelessness, by the way. But, you know, just being a woman going through sexual trauma, going through an abusive relationship, experiencing PTSD, you know, I have a nephew with autism. I have a friend with spina bifida. I have so many, like, things that I feel like we just don't understand or comprehend. And I think that the biggest thing that divides us is we don't understand. And I just would like to, I would like to bring us together as human beings. So I launched the Just Be Love Project, and it's sort of an interesting name. It's sort of a dichotomy, if you will, because I'm saying, hey, come on, let's be love, right? Let's be love, and let's talk about trafficking. Let's be love, and let's talk about suicide. Let's be love, and let's, you know, blame the Just Be Love Project, besides the fact that our mission statement is, you know, that we hope to inspire action through education and awareness. And we started out as a film festival and conference. And I described the Just Be Love Project as an invitation to come and sit at the gray table. And because the world is so black and white, especially right now, we're so divided in our black and white thinking. I know that if you're willing to come to the table and have a conversation, no one has to change their viewpoints. The invitation is to see and listen to one another. And then you can go on, you know, about your merry way. But I know that when we take the time to see and listen to one another from our heart, that alone inspires change in how we think, because we don't understand each other. When we begin to understand where people come from, we begin to see with a different lens of perception, then we're able to love each other better. You know, you know, I have an amazing example of how that actually can happen in my own family, right? So in my family, right, we have, in my family, we have some completely different political views. And when we look at the, we look at what's going on in politics right now, and I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm just going to talk about and around. But we, and our world is, our country is very divided. I think we, that's something we can all agree on, right? Our country is divided, and we have some people thinking this way and some people thinking this way, and nobody wants to hear anything else, period, right? And in my family, we have different political views. And guess what? We talk. We talk about our differences. And guess what? We hug when we leave. We love each other when we leave. And it doesn't matter if I think differently or they think differently. We've learned to, we don't cut each other off because we think differently. We don't delete each other on Facebook because we think differently. We found a way to sit at the gray table and learn how to respect and love and honor each other as human beings, because at the end of the day, politics doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's life that matters. It's our life. It's whether we're alive or we're dead. And we're fighting about, we're wasting our lives on a bunch of thoughts and ideas instead of truly connecting with love.
I love that. I'll tell you, I love that when I saw this project and I saw the Just Be Love, because I know in my family, when I was a young mother, my aunt would say to me, I would go and I would say, oh my God, so-and-so's driving me crazy. Or I would be, I don't know what to do. And she would always say, just love. And it would be funny because I would walk away and I'm like, how am I going to love that? And I, and as I got older, I realized that it wasn't, it was more than saying just love. You just really kind of told us a little bit more. It was about showing a person that you love them despite everything, because you never know what people are going to go through in their life. And that spark of love that's in their heart is that they know that someone loves them, that may give them the energy and the will to leave whatever situation they may be in. And so I learned that later on, why it was important to just love. So I love what you just said, because, you know, you have to have that mindset or to be able to listen to somebody. Just love them and just listen without, you know, saying anything. And you might just learn something. You might just learn something.
That's right.
So I love that. I love what your family does. That's great. I wish more families had that, actually. And you're right. We're divided in so many ways. So I see you're going to have a film festival in June?
September.
Okay,
yeah,
September.
It's in
September. Okay. Uh-huh. And what is the festival going to be like?
So this, I'm on a journey. This is my fourth year running a film festival, and my second year of running this film festival. And the first year, last year, we did actually have it in July, which really, honestly, July in Arizona is a horrible time to have an event. I just, if you want to go back to that question about what, like, I don't know what I'm thinking. But we did have it in July, and I just, I'm kind of an, I experiment a lot, and I sort of let things organically become what they are rather than trying to dictate, because in my life I've been shown that no matter how much I try to dictate, right, this, I said this once already, I'm never the one in charge. So I just follow my instincts. I sort of cast a net last year. I'm like, let's have a two-day event, a conference, and a film festival. And let's call it a social awareness film festival, and let's give it a theme, right? So I thought this was a great idea, and it was a great idea. People did experience a lot of healing, and a lot of communication happened, and a lot of transformation happened. The whole festival was around trafficking, sexual trauma, PTSD. My speakers and all of the films. And so I realized that as transformational as it was, I feel like there's a better way to do it, because it was really heavy. You know, it's really heavy. And just because I can sit through all that heavy stuff and then go, so what did you think? Right? Like, that's right. Me. That's not everybody. And so This year I decided to separate the Just Be Loved conference from the film festival. And I made it Dragonfly Film Festival. And I'm using the same logo, just tweaked a little bit, because I want people to remember that they are sisters. I want them to be separate things, because the Just Be Loved Project, you know, is about education. We will have film screenings and conversation around those films, and I will have a lot of events that are, you know, formed in that way. But the film festival, I want to be standalone. And I'm a documentary filmmaker, and I love documentary film, so I wanted to have a documentary film festival, except that I also love shorts. I love indie shorts. They please me to no end. I just have a passion for them. I think it's the coolest little art form. And so I don't mean little, but little as in short. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to separate it off, and it's going to be a social awareness. We'll give preference to social awareness films on any topic, not a themed topic, so we can open and broaden, you know, the things that we cover. And then I can concentrate on allowing the filmmakers to be able to come and talk about the films that we screen, being able to talk about their process and talk about, you know, why they chose to do what they did. And so the festival will consist of screening all the documentaries, and then we'll have one section that's sort of like a party where we're going to show all the shorts and give out the awards. So I wanted to have, and who knows? We won't know until the event's over in September if this works. It's just a theory, really. But it was my hope that we could cover some heavy topics and still be able to have some fun involved. And so I felt like the balance of the documentaries and the shorts would be able to accomplish that, because the shorts are typically, you know, it can be anything, science, right. Zombie films, animation, anything really. And so that's my hope. We can talk after September and see how that worked out.
Well, I hope that I'm here so I can attend the film festival, because I would really love to come and see more. Let me ask you, you have a quote here, and I want you to tell me what you mean by it. You said that you must master you first.
Oh, before you do anything? Oh, yeah. We have to. Okay, so our job, I feel, on this planet is us. We are our job. It's nobody else's responsibility to take care of us. It's nobody else's responsibility to navigate the internal landscape of the heart and the mind. And it's nobody else's responsibility to form us into the person of service that I believe we're here to be. it's only our responsibility. And in that, I feel the biggest investment that we can make to help other people is to do our work, is to understand where we come from and to truly master who we are as human beings. Because when you do that energetically, right, because going, like, now we're full circle, we started out talking about energetics. Energetically, when you show up knowing who you are and having a value in who you are and knowing that you're here for a reason, because no one's here accidentally. You know, we're not accidents. A friend of mine, KC, says this really funny quote. I think it's funny. She said, it's not like the creator was making the world and oops, whoops, that was an accident. Oh, sorry about that.
Right?
Right? I just love that, because no one's an accident. Like, we're here on purpose. And so it's about finding our purpose. And sometimes our purpose is to be a disruptor. And sometimes our purpose is to be a connector. And only you can determine, you know, what your purpose is. But I feel like when I walk into, you know, I do a lot of spiritual and life coaching too. When I walk into, and I teach. And so when I show up, I have to show up as me, because it's me and my medicine. That's all I can serve the planet, is me and my medicine. Anything else is inauthentic and faking it. I'm not going to be effective, because it's somebody else's job to do. So when we master ourselves, we give other people permission to be human and to love themselves and to have value in themselves and to learn about others, really. Yeah, you have to love yourself. Okay. Here's a quote that I say to my students. I'm teaching holistic practitioners, right? You have no business asking other people to do what you yourself are not willing to do. So if I'm standing on this planet saying, hey, we should love each other, then it is my absolute job to make sure that I love myself too.
Okay. Perfect. So tell me, what has been what you consider, because success means a lot of different things. What do you consider is your success at this moment in time?
I'm sorry, I'm right by the airport and a big loud airplane just went over at the end of that sentence.
What do you consider has been the biggest success for you right now at this moment? Because we know you're going to go further beyond this moment, but what do you consider has been your biggest success?
My biggest success, I feel, is maybe different than what you're thinking I'm going to say. I don't know. But my biggest success is sitting in gratitude of knowing that I am a very, very well-loved woman. And I am surrounded by amazing friends and amazing family. And that, to me, is success. Knowing that people, because, you know, yes, we are our job, but we are also social creatures. And so I know that there are people that feel so safe in my arms and so safe in my presence, that's the biggest success to me on the planet, is knowing that I can offer that place of safety, love, and kindness and compassion, and that it's sought after, because that fills my heart. So it's really my family and my friends. Everything else is like this bonus, like frosting on my cake of love, if to use that metaphor.
Right. And that's That's great, because success is different to many people. It's not really about, I know some people think success is every project that I do, I'm successful, and actually it's not that. It's not monetary. I don't feel it's monetary. I just feel it's, you know, where you feel the most complete at, that success. And so you just said that very well. So how can they help you, and how can they get in touch with you?
Oh, I love that. Well, people can get in touch with me at my email is anncabanofilms@gmail.com. My website is anncabano.com. My phone number is public. It's 480-216-6287. If you put my name in Google, you can find me in a lot of places because I like to be accessible to people. So that's how people can reach me, the justbelovedproject.com, dragonflyfilmfest.com on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Snapchat. It's ridiculous. I do social media management, so I'm kind of social.
Right. Sort of social.
How people can help me, I think just maybe sharing how they feel inspired to help. It's the vaguest response ever, but when people reach out to me, people reach out a lot and they want to get involved. And the first thing I always ask is to do. Like, what is it that your heart is speaking that you want to do? Because ultimately we do always have an idea, right? We always have an idea. Like, I just want to be involved. What do you see yourself doing is what I ask. How do you see yourself get involved? You know, because I have 10 million ways that I could use help, but that doesn't mean that's what you want to do. And I don't want you to do things. I want us to work together in inspiration, not obligation.
Right. Right. Okay. Great. Great. So everyone who's listening, Anne just gave you her website and how accessible she is. And we will also be posting this interview on Vertical Life Magazine. We'll be continuing to share what Anne's doing. So you'll always be able to get in touch with her, at least through Vertical and outside of Vertical for sure. And what is one of your upcoming projects that you can share with us?
One of the upcoming projects, well, the film fest in September, I am about to launch a series of talks called the Love Talks. And those are, just like I said, we're coming together. We're talking about something tough or taboo, and then we're going to have a conversation. So the first talk that we're having is sort of a talk back from the event I had in February. And I had a woman send me a whole proposal about a conversation she wanted to have around privilege. So we're having a discussion around privilege, and we don't have the date set yet because I just got my new office, as I mentioned. So we're in the new office now. So we'll be setting that date. But if that's something of interest, and if there is a topic that someone feels passionate about talking about, I am totally willing to create a platform for those types of things. And we're going to have rules of engagement and participation. So it's going to be good, I hope, to have the tough conversations. Those are my favorite, the challenging conversations.
Oh, yeah. Good. I'm going to be looking forward to that. Sounds like an interesting conversation. Definitely I'll be looking forward to it. So as we close out today, I want to say, Anne, thank you so much for saying yes. I'm looking forward to covering a few things that you're doing so we can share it on our social media as well. So at this point of the program, I'd like to give our guests an opportunity, if there's something that they want to say to the audience that we may not have covered, if there's some kind of encouragement they'd like to leave, that this is a great time for it.
Well, first I want to tell you thank you for the opportunity, because we can't have a conversation if people don't show up. And so just being able to have an opportunity to talk about the things I'm doing, I'm so grateful to you for asking me and having me on your show. I really appreciate that. And the thing that I would say, there's this artist that I found. I don't even know how I found him, but he has a song. And in his lyrics, I feel like are my anthem. And his lyrics go, if you teach people about people, then people can love, love, love. And that's sort of my motto, right? If you teach people about people, then people can love, love, love. And I might be a dreamer, but that's okay. You know, I might be an idealist, but that's okay too. That's what I am in this right. world. And so I appreciate the opportunity to share that quote. He's the sober junkie, as I like to give credit to people's stuff. So I appreciate that line from him and his song, because it's my motto and my mantra.
Thank you, Anne, for sharing that, and definitely appreciate you being on today. We will be keeping in touch with you, because I would love
you.
To have you come back again. Yes, most definitely. And thank you. On a personal level, I would just say thank you for always having time for me as well. It's great to have people that are connected in the industry that do support each other, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I love sitting with you and talking. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate this. I just love you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. So thank you, everyone who has been here today to support our program. And thank you again to our guest, Anne Tomato. Thank you, Team Vertical, for volunteering and planning and production of this program. And remember to follow us on Blog Talk Radio, the Renaissance Cafe. You can also listen to us at Vertical Live Radio at Facebook. And just a reminder that next week's program will be featuring poet, writer, teacher Charles Clifford Brooks III. And again, everyone, thank you so much. I appreciate all the support. We look forward to seeing you next week. And this is Celeste Duckworth saying bye.